You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
The devil, in one sense, is considered the arch enemy of God and the church. The arch enemy of God and the church. The primary meaning of arch enemy is your worst foe. Your worst foe or adversary. One of the reasons he is considered the worst is because he will try to take your life from being wonderful to worse. Woo! Some of us know about that. I say he'll try to take your life from being wonderful to worse. To where everything that can go wrong begins to take place. He'll try to make the worst happen for you. The base meaning of worst is to confuse. And when you're being blessed bountifully by God, but then things take a turn for the worse, Satan or one of his soldiers would try to bring confusion to you, child of God. I said, Satan, or one of his soldiers, servants, or such, will try to bring confusion to you. And you have to remember that when it comes to confusion, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, God is not the author of confusion. I said, God is not the author of chaos. God is not messy. And sometimes we try to consider what happens when we go from being bountifully blessed to worse, and we start first and foremost considering why in the world did God, instead of recognizing that, look, God ain't causing no confusion. If God would allow you to go from a state of good to bad, it's always going to be a reason. And because of the Holy Spirit will even show you in Scripture why such has taken place. But don't start pointing no finger at God thinking God does not want you blessed. Remember, he came that you might have and that you might have it more abundant. Remember that he took stripes in order for you to be healed. That's the reason we say healing is the children's bread. But the devil is about making saints be confused. And so he will try, or he will cause chaos, I should say, in order to cause you to become startled and confused in mind and started pointing the finger at God. Satan even has gotten us to the point to where sometimes we'll say stuff like, well, I guess prayer don't work. I guess God didn't hear my prayer. Even though the Bible says his ears are always open to the cries of the righteous. Even though he promised, if you ask anything according to my will, my word, first I'm going to hear you. Second, I'm going to grant the request. Not on your timetable. It's going to always be according to his time. But we can never get to the point to where we allow our arch enemy, who is about causing bad to happen for us, to get us confused in reference to the goodness, mercy, grace, and bounty of God. We got to hold on to the testimony that can't nobody do us like Jesus. And the other testimony, God been better to me than I've been to myself. God, that sounds so good. If it be true, tell somebody, preacher, write about that. He been better to me. Woo, my Jesus been better to me than I've been to myself. You have to watch the enemy. And you have to understand that the enemy will use people that serve him to get to you. I want to show you what Jesus said about people in reference to being connected to the devil. Consider John 8 and 44. I want to read this. John 8 and 44. This is what Jesus said to some people that initially were believing the word. But then they started arguing with Jesus and trying to question his teaching. But here in John 8 and 44, this is what Jesus said to them. You are of your father, oh God, the devil. Well, we just busted the bubble that says everybody's God's children. We just busted that, didn't we? You are of your father who?
Yeah.
But notice he goes on to say, and the desires of your father, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. What he desires is what you want to do. And as I come, we can look at our lives and say, yeah, I used to be of the devil. Devil used to want you to trick that man, sister, before you got saved, to get some of his money. Say whatever he want to hear, because he loaded tonight. You see how he buying all them shots? Just say what he want to hear. Act like you're going to go home with him until he spend his last dollar on you. And when you see that he getting low in money, just politely say, I got to go. When you did that, you were a child of the devil. When you acted like that, that's who you were. You desired to do something you knew was wrong. It's quiet in here. See, because some of us are thinking right now, you going back. And at this moment right here, you realize that you used to be connected to the devil. My granny told me everybody was a child of God, but I guess that wasn't right. Well, you don't have to guess. We right here in the Bible. But let's take it a little further. Let's take it a little further. Jesus goes on to say, still in John 8:44, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Since we've been in the church, we have lied and knew we were lying. I have lied and knew I was lying, and man, I'm telling you, I felt about this big. Because if you truly save and you mess up like that, you ain't going to feel good about yourself. And you going to hurry up and ask God, I sinned. I lied. Forgive me. And the enemy, even though you're a child of God, will influence you to lie. That's reading, you never tell folks the devil is nothing. Yes, he is. He the one that made you lie when you knew better. The one that made you curse out somebody when you knew better. But notice he has children that are connected to him. And notice again what Jesus said, that want to do what he does. It's folks that like being the devil. Like thinking, talking, and acting like the devil. You need to understand that. That's real. Let's go further. Let's go to the book of Acts. Y'all stay with me. We're going to the 13th chapter of Acts. Acts 13. We'll start at verse 8. Acts 13, verse 8. Ready? Yeah. But Elimas, the sorcerer. And in our day and time, people that are connected to the devil, whether it's a fortune teller, psychic, and such, they are very popular in society. They make a lot of money by folk calling and requesting stuff. I hope you ain't been on that 800 number, but I don't know. But anyway. But this is an example of how much power they can have. There's nothing new under the what? So consider this verse based upon what's happening in the present time. But Elimas the sorcerer, for so is his name translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith of people in authority. Here's a sorcerer trying to turn people in authority away from the faith. Had that type power. Trying to convince them that God's word is not right. Is not true. A sorcerer. And the thing is, just like in our day and time, the proconsul was listening to the sorcerer. you have people in authority that will call the psychic line. And whatever the psychic tells them, that's what they'll do. People in authority. But now there are a number of folks that will try to get folks not to believe the truth. Some lawyers, some doctors, some preachers. You tell a professional, look, I'm just going to keep trusting God. And they'll hurry up and tell you, say, look, you need to make a decision. I hear what you're talking about. I understand your faith. But you need to make a decision now. But I just told you that I'm just going to wait on God. And you ignoring what I just told you? Well, you need to make a decision now. What are they doing? Trying to turn you against God. See, folks use the word faith in general in reference to beliefs, whether it's in Jesus, Buddha, or something or somebody else. But you have to recognize when somebody tries to turn you away from what the Holy Spirit has put in your heart to do, that's demonic. That's demonic. If you know God is telling you to wait, but you got somebody that's persistent in saying to you, you need to go ahead and make a decision now. You got to look beyond just that person being a professional. You got to recognize that according to Scripture, this is somebody telling you that you don't need to trust your faith. You need to do what they're telling you to do. That's exactly what it is. And Paul recognized that the sorcerer was trying to get these folk in authority not to even listen to the word. Notice what he does. Verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with what? And he was led by the Holy Spirit. Look intently at the sorcerer. And said, O fool of all deceit and all what? You son of the help me. You enemy of all, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Do y'all see this? He called him out. But he discerned that, look, this ain't nothing but a child of the devil. They're trying to interfere with God's business, what God wants to go on. I got to move on, but just say to somebody, you have to recognize that the devil has children. And some are educated, some are not. Some are professional. Some are not. You have to discern. When somebody is trying to tell you to go against what God done told you, that's demonic. Baby, I know you're a praying woman. I ain't taking none of that from you, baby. But baby, some things you just need to use common sense, because baby, this ain't really nothing to pray about. Because you know. But Proverbs 3:5 says that I need to acknowledge him in all my ways, and he'll direct my path. Some of the sweetest words that come out of folks' mouth are demonic. I'm going to ask you a question. When you read Genesis 3 and you see how Satan or the serpent was talking to Eve, do you think he was talking harshly to her or he was talking sweet? Some of y'all still ain't responding the way I want you to. Let me just go another route. Baby girl or sister. Back in the day when he was talking sweet to you. Adam. Was he looking eye to eye at you and saying harsh words, or were they sweet? Hear them sisters. Sweet. To the point to where they were poetic. Oh, you know, some brothers tried to go there. And most of the time they'd heard something on a record. CD or whatever. And then they just, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that right there. You have to understand that you have to discern to the point to where you can recognize when somebody is a child of the devil or not. You have to recognize that. And you have to learn to resist. Yeah. We have to learn to resist. Because there are certain words that the devil can get folks to use that if you're not careful, you will forget your God and submit to those words. Only afterwards to regret what you done. He was so sweet, but I can't stand him now. I thought he meant what he said, but he made me sick now. Who do stuff like that? The devil. You have to learn to resist. It's not hard to resist something that really you to the point to where, oh man, you crazy. But what you have to learn to resist is something that's enticing. Something that you like to hear. Words that say he has your number. Or she has your number. Yeah. Yeah, some men, all the women out there, you know, you are so buffed. You must do such and such at least 3 or 4 times a week. He'll get the smile and then get the smile and everything. And she'd be like, got him now. Got him now. Got him. And see, the devil again will use folk. He'll use folk. And so you have to learn to resist to what's nice to you. Learn to resist what's appealing to you. have to learn to resist. And to resist, in one sense, is to stand against. But you're especially standing against, or you're fighting that which is in contrast to the will of God. But then sometimes it's just you not giving up when you start to feel weak. Yeah, you can feel when a shift is happening to where you're starting to yield to what you've been listening to or what you've been looking at. And see, it can be such a fight going on to where the thing that you really need to do is just not give up. I love that the word tells us nobody is above temptation. It's something out there that can call you and you answer. Woo! I say it's something out there that'll call you and you answer. And see, that's when resisting is needed. You have to be to the point, man, I got to stand because, whoo, God, I can't give in because, Lord, I sure want to do this. Man, I want to do this. But you can't give up. You can't give up, and you got to recognize that this is nothing but the one that messed Eve up. The one that got in the ear of Job's wife. The one that convinced King Saul to go to a psychic. Who knew about necromancy and had this person that was used by the devil to conjure up a spirit that sounded like Samuel. Conjured up an evil spirit. You do know necromancy is wrong, right? Or do you even know what necromancy? The worshiping of the dead, primarily. You can never allow yourself to get caught up in what some folk believe. You don't worship the dead. We worship a living God. And the scripture tells us that our God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. But who is it that will try to get folks to worship the dead? Satan. He's the one that your past is supposed to be dead and gone, but he is the primary one that will try to get your past to come back in order to entice or tempt you to do something you have no business. So you know, you got to learn how to resist, especially when you don't want to resist. See, and when you have to resist, that means that thing is messing with your mind. See, in certain things you can bring to me, and I'll be like, man, I don't even deal with that no more. That's all it's gonna take. But then there's certain things that will come to me that got my number, I'd be like, well. Lord have mercy. And then I'd be like, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Woo! Might say it 3 or 4 times. Help me, Jesus. And it'd be nice at that time when I ask him to help me, that the Holy Spirit say, do Jesus. That's when you resist. When you feel like giving in to something you know God told you. God got you going through a trial, but the enemy telling you to just quit and just throw it all in. And that's how you feeling, like throwing it all in. God telling you he going to heal you, but your situation done got worse. So the enemy telling you, look, you just need to give in and you need to go ahead and do such and such. That's when you need to resist. That's when you need to give in. I mean, that's when you need to resist. Because God be done told you, he going to heal you, but your situation gets worse. And then the enemy comes saying, look, this is what you need to do. And you're feeling, you're in your feelings to the point to where you're looking at, well, maybe I ought to just do that. And that's the moment to where you need to fight. You need to stand against that thing. And you need to say within yourself, as much as I would like to do that, I know God told me he was going to do such and such. So I'm not going to bite the bullet. I'm not going to do it. I done told y'all the story about me going, trying to get this car, and I just kept getting turned down. I had got to the point to where the enemy came to me, look, you might as well go to one of them little weekly places and just get you a car right there. See, God didn't tell me that, but I knew. I said, well, I ain't been out here all day. And so that thing came across my mind. I even went by one. I didn't tell y'all this part. I even went by there just looking at them cars. And the whole time I'm knowing I'm at the will of God and just, you know, but it was tempting. Because of the trial that I was going through. And see, you be done prayed about something and it ain't happened on your timetable. And then other things, the enemy will put other things before you, and those things will become tempting. And that's when you have to start resisting. Oh, when that pain, when you done testified that God told you not to take no more of that medicine because it was hurting you more so than helping you. Then one night, about 5 minutes before midnight, that pain hit you. And you testified about not taking the medicine, but you still got the medicine. I know what I said to the same participant. At that moment is when you need to resist. Because it's the enemy trying to steal your testimony. Trying to steal what God done ordained for you to have. Almost 20 some years ago, I'll never forget it. I got to going through stuff in my body and this vitiligo started popping up and other things started going on. I went to see this doctor up in Douglasville, and he done told me, look, we need to do this, that, and the other right away because it seems as if you're in stage 3, and he mentioned some type of cancer. I can't even remember what it was. I said, look, I said, I appreciate what you're saying and everything, but God ain't ordained me to die yet. I got too much to do. I got too much to do. That stuff started to come in my mind, what he was saying, and from that time on, I got the battling this, that, and the other. No, I ain't accepting that. I say God told Saul when his time was coming. He told others that time, I'm not going to accept something just because he said. But see, that's what the enemy will do. The enemy will try to feed you something in order for you to accept it. Yeah. And at that moment, you have to resist. You have to resist. Then I turned around, a brother that was in church that was a doctor, he told me, he said, look, he said, based upon what was, because I asked him, I said, based upon what he said, so forth and so on, said, it could be that. I said, man, I said, I just can't accept that. I said, look, I said, God ain't told me that. God have always told me stuff. And he promised that he would lead me into. That's been 20, over 20 something years. I'm still. You don't accept some stuff, you don't accept. I have never told that testimony except to a few folk. You never accept certain things. If you truly believe John 16 and 13, the Spirit will guide you into how much truth?
All truth.
You never accept stuff. Why? Because the enemy will tempt you with something in order to try to control you. He want to try to control your destiny. No, you're not going to control my destiny. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. And so James says, resist the devil. And notice resisting is not in vain, because if you resist the devil right, according to scripture, if you stand against or fight him resolutely, or you be steadfast, he gonna flee. Resist the devil and he'll what?
Flee.
Let me show you something real quick. Lord have mercy. Let's go to 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter 5. I'm going to read verse 8, but verse 9 is the verse that I want you to really consider. First Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary who? Walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? But notice what Peter says in verse 9. Resist him. Saying the same thing James said. resist him. But he goes further. Steadfast in the what? You got to be steadfast. You got to fight. You have to resist him how? Steadfast. And we know why, because he's relentless. He's relentless. He has a, I'm not going to quit attitude. And you got to have I'm not going to give up attitude. I know you're relentless, but I need you to know I'm not going to give up. I may cry, but I ain't going to give up. I may fall, but I ain't going to give up. I may mess up, but I ain't going to give up. I may get mad about it not working out the way I desire it to work out, but I'm not going to give. Said, so you can't give up. You have to be steadfast. You got to be dogged. You got to be determined. Even when the odds are against you. Joshua and Caleb, out of 12 men, were the only ones that were optimistic when the odds were against them. But it was Caleb that revealed why he was so optimistic. Caleb said to Israel and to the 11 leaders, he said, if God is for us, he'll give us the victory. So let's go now. Let's don't wait till tomorrow. Let's go now. They didn't even have the weapons they needed to deal with giants. Took special type weapons to deal with giants. But Caleb wasn't worried about no weapons. He just knew if God be for us, if he with us, he gonna give us the victory. That's how we got to feel, and that's how we got to look at the enemy. We got to know he's been doing his mess for a long, long time. But if God is for us, we just need to stand fast. We just can't give up. You can't give up. It's going to get rough sometimes, but you can't give up. You're going to hear what you don't want to hear sometimes, but you can't give up. It's going to seem as if the tide done turned in the devil's favor, but you still can't give up. This is where your maturity comes in. This is where you can't get into that baby, boy, or little girl mode and start having a pity party. You ain't got time to be having no pity party, singing your song, woe is me. You got to put your foot down and you got to resist the enemy. You got to say, I'm not going to give up. And even if I do fall, I'm going to get myself right back up. And I'm going to pray again. I'm going to fast again. I'm going to go to church again. I'm going to read the scripture again. But I ain't going to give up till you say. If it be true, tell somebody, I might mess up. But I done made up in my mind. I ain't going to hell for nothing to nobody. I said, I ain't going to hell for nothing to nobody. You got folks that I would get saved, but I don't know if I can. Look, you better get saved before you mess around and die and go to hell. You better just trust God to help you. And see, the whole time you're resisting the devil, you're fighting, you're being steadfast. You have to remember the first part of James 4. Submit to God. You're not giving up. So now you're resisting the devil. You in fight mode. But you got to submit to God. You got to yield your spirit, soul, and body to Him. You got to get in that. You got to get into the point to where you're saying, Lord, it's a battle going on. And it seemed like what you've been telling me is the weaker one. Yeah, temptation can get like that. You know the word, but temptation is on 10 and the word is 2. I ain't never been that bad. Well, the person beside you probably have. I've been wanting to cuss somebody out so bad to where my lips start jumping. Have the jumping lip, boy. Lip just jumping away. I'm talking about literally jumping. My lip just jumping, just jumping away. I'm ready to cuss them out. Why was you ready? Because of what they said. I went and got my shotgun one day because a preacher told me he was going to pay me my $100 back, didn't pay my $100 back, and I needed my money. Got my shotgun. Went to the car. I mean, just rushing to the car with my shotgun. Put the shotgun in there. Got in my little car and put it in reverse and tried to scratch out and knew I didn't have no good tires. Knew I couldn't scratch. I got down to that church, boy, took that shotgun out of there. And he wasn't there. Took the shotgun out, but I got out just trying to, you know, just out the devil everywhere. And sitting there showing out and doing all that, and then this old shotgun just fell apart on me. Right in the churchyard. Well, the church parking lot just fell apart right there. It took a brother talking to me in that parking lot and said, man, you can't do stuff like this, brother. And was a little store right there, and folk coming out the store, they just, what going on around here? The devil will use you. You have to submit to God. Because folk going to do some stuff that going to mess with you. And you going to react. And get this, as I close it. When I did what I did back then, I was immature. But understand this. Even when you get mature, the enemy going to have something on your level. Yeah, he is. He's going to have something. Even if it's him trying to tell you that your ministry or your destiny going to be stopped short because of something going on in your body. At that moment, you have to resist and submit to God and say, God, ain't nothing going to happen until you're done with me. Yeah? I'm going to stop right there. Let's get a Lord a hand to pray. Lord, have mercy.